Mark chapter 1, we are considering our Lord during his off hours. I want to read three passages from Mark's Gospel and one from Luke's Gospel, very brief passages. And we'll start at verse 35 in Mark chapter 1. And in the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out and departed into a desert place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and they found him. And they say unto him, All are seeking thee. And he saith unto them, Let us go elsewhere unto the next town, that I may preach there also. For to this end came I forth. And he went into their synagogue throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. Now chapter 6, verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to enter into the boat, and to go before him unto the other side to Bethsaida, while he himself sendeth the multitude away. And after he had taken leave of them, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when even was come, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And seeing them distressed in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea. So now chapter 14. Verse 32. And they come unto a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed. And just one brief passage in Luke chapter 6. And I think I will read you another passage as well, but in Luke 6, verse 13. And it came to pass in these days that he went out into the mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God, and when it was day, he called his disciples, and he chose from them 12, whom also he named apostles. And chapter 11. Look at that quickly, please. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John also taught his disciples. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we rejoice in the life of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 4 books, so brief. And yet, Father, all that we need to know about him, to thrill our souls, to save our souls, is contained in these 4 brief accounts. We thank you for how much is told us about thy Son, and we this morning especially thank thee for the passages that we have read, and we desire to know the meaning of these passages to him, to the disciples, and to ourselves. To accomplish this, our Father, our sufficiency must be of God, and that is why we pray to thee. That is why we cast ourselves upon thee, and that is why we confess our sins to thee, because we are unworthy to loose the laces of his sandals, and we are unworthy to utter his name, and yet thou hast given us this high honor of proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ to sinners and to thy children as well. And so this morning, glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The more you read the gospel account of the life of Christ, the more you understand the truth of the statements made about him in Hebrews chapter 2, which are these. It says, since then the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself in like manner partook of the same. That the Lord Jesus is flesh and blood. And it says, it behooves him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. And so the Lord Jesus is like unto his brethren. The Lord Jesus is human in every respect apart from sin. And if with an open eye you read in the gospel and let the truth of the gospel emerge, you will understand that what Christ said of himself is true, that while being God, he was God manifest in the flesh. And he said in John chapter 8, he said, a man who told you all the truth. And Paul tells us there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And when the passages, like the ones that we have read this morning, are emphasizing the man Christ Jesus, his being human, then God expects us to learn the lessons from the humanity of Christ. And not to look at him and make him different from other human beings apart from sin, but to understand that he is human. And you will appreciate him more and understand him better if you will realize this and not be afraid to say concerning our Savior what he said of himself, I am a man who told you all the truth. He's not denying that he's God, but he said, I am a man who told you all the truth. And being human, when he arose in the morning and he was hungry, he was looking on the fig tree for something to eat. There's nothing wrong being a human being if you are hungry to want something to eat. And when the Lord Jesus was thirsty, it is perfectly human to say, give me a drink of water. And at the same time, in all other respects, whenever it is perfectly normal and human, if it is hot, to want to stand in the shade, or if it's cold, to want to stand in the sun, there is nothing wrong with these things. And our Lord was made like unto his brethren in all things. And our Savior enjoyed these escapes from unpleasant experiences of life. If he's thirsty, he wants water. If he's hungry, he wants something to eat. And if he is overrun by multitudes, people constantly after him, so as there is no leisure so much as to eat, the Lord Jesus wanted to be alone. And there's nothing wrong with it. And when you want to get away from your fellow believers and all people to be alone, it is not sinful. It is human. And this is what our Lord, for the third week now, has thought to do. Again, he is seeking to hide. Remember the distinction? I told you that if the Lord hides himself miraculously, no one will find him. But the Lord Jesus, in wisdom, hides himself so that just the right number of people can find him. The first study, he hid himself only so those multitudes that were ready to walk a great distance around the lake would go there and find him when he reached the other side, even though he had said to his disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. And they rested a very brief time, but he had permitted the multitudes to see him because he was weeding out those idle, curious followers from those that were intent and sincere, and he permitted them to find him. And therefore, he welcomed them, and he spoke to them the words of God. In like manner, he hid himself last week just enough so that an individual persistent in her determination to see him that he might heal her daughter might find him when he was in the house. It says he could not be hid. And so when the woman found him, the Lord Jesus allowed that. You see, he knows just how long to rest, and he knows just how well to hide himself. To let multitudes find him, sincere multitudes, or to hide himself in a house so that only one can find him, as this woman did. Now, today, in the first passage we read, the Lord Jesus hid himself just well enough so that only Peter and his followers could find him. Who would ever think of going out into the desert looking for a man as popular as the Lord Jesus? Or his disciples would. They were familiar with his habits. This early in his career, they understood about the Savior and his prayer life. And so, when they got up in the morning and looked around for the Savior, they were not able to find him. But Peter and the rest of them said this, "I'll bet he's out there in the desert praying." And sure enough, he was. And so they go and they find him. But now think of the wisdom of the Lord Jesus in hiding himself, as I told you in past weeks, enough to let multitudes with a sincere find him, well enough only to let one find him. Now, this time, well enough only to let his apostles find him. Peter could figure out where he was. Where is he gone? Where would he be? He will be praying somewhere in seclusion. And so the Lord allows that. But as he is weeding out those that can find him, and as he only allows certain ones with pressing problems to discover him, now the Lord Jesus is only going to allow his apostles to find him after so much time that is essential for him to spend alone with his Father. And this is the way he does it. He gets up early in the morning, a great while before the day. That's one thing. And he goes out into the desert, in a desert place, alone, a place of seclusion. And this is what he could figure. He said, if I get up earlier than the rest of them, they will sleep another hour. That will give me 1 hour. And then, after they eat breakfast and they start looking for me, it will take them another hour to find me. And so I can successfully hide, let's say, 2 hours. And then I permit them to find me. Because if the Lord wanted to completely seclude himself, even Peter and the rest could not find him. But there is always wisdom in the actions of our Lord, even though you and I may not be able to find them out. And so he has this strategy as to where he should hide and as to how he should hide and for reason of hiding. And in this case, as in the other cases that I've read you about, he has his reason, and the reason is this, that the Lord wanted his disciples to seek him and find him praying. Now let me ask you this. If I ever got up early in the morning and couldn't find you, would it be because you had gone away somewhere to pray? In the other portion that I read to you, the Lord Jesus did not hide himself, but it says he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." There was just a little privacy here, but he did it in the presence of his disciples so they could see him pray and be challenged by his prayer. And they would come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And I did not read this, but if you read the account in John chapter 17, he's either praying in the upper room or he has arisen and he is walking with the disciples. And as he is walking with the disciples, he starts praying to his Father, Father, the hour is come. And think of this now. The prayer life of the Lord Jesus, at times it is in seclusion and men have to come and find him. And when they find him, he's praying. At other times, he's just a little distance from them and he's praying. They're not able to hear him. They can't tell exactly what's going on, but he allows that so they can see him. And at other times, he prays in their presence as he either is in the upper room or is walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane so that they can hear him. There is always wisdom in every action of the Lord so that men will say, so this is what the Savior does early in the morning. While I am sleeping, he is praying. And so the Savior is praying, and he is unembarrassed to let me know that he's praying. And somehow, as I see him praying, I realize that my prayer life is nothing but talk. It's speaking words to God, but there is no intensity to it. I do not know how to pray. And when I see the Lord praying, I am encouraged to go and say to him, Lord, teach me to pray. And in John chapter 17, it is not that men might seek the Lord and find what he does in secret, or they might see him and be encouraged to pray, but that they might hear the very words that he himself speaks to his Father when he prays. What would we take for John chapter 17? And these are the words that his disciples were allowed to hear him pray. He hears them say things about them that I would never believe were possible for the Savior to speak in truth about them, but he is gracious. And he prays for them in such a way that they are encouraged. He prays with an intimacy and a communion with the Father. And all of these things are planned, and so they discover that his life is a life of prayer. When he's alone, when he is with other people in close proximity to them, when he's walking down the road side by side with them. Now, is this a description of your prayer life? Do you know anything about prayer like this? I'm afraid that if you think about it, you say, this prayer life of the Lord Jesus, really, it puts me to shame, and it makes me say, Lord, teach me to pray. Then it has been successful. Then the Lord, by his example, and your seeing him pray, you have learned that you do not know how to pray. And at the same time, by seeking him and finding him praying, you realize that you have not seen the great value of prayer. A man needs his rest. The Lord Jesus said that. But at times, if prayer is essential, then rest must be sacrificed that we might have privacy in prayer. Now, when is the last time you have sacrificed any comforts of life that you might have a time of communion with God? This is why the Lord wants them to find him pray. He wants them to see him pray, and then, Lord, teach us to pray. He tells them the words that they are to pray. Will you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thine. Well then, when they heard him pray, did they hear him pray, say, My Father? No. They heard him speak in an intimate way with the Father that they were perhaps not as yet able to speak with the Father, and they would never be able to speak with the same degree of intimacy that he did with his Father. But all of these things are lessons, and he, being perfectly human, was willing to share his prayer life with others. And some of you, as I said, I want you to pray with me. You would be so embarrassed you wouldn't know what to do. If another person were looking at you when you were praying, you would be so embarrassed you would not know what to do. But before the Lord Jesus fed the multitude, it says he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and gave thanks, because all was perfectly normal. And that is what he is teaching us. You say he is hiding. Indeed, there are some times when you need seclusion in prayer. You want no one around. But there are other times, and it is your responsibility, to let others watch you as you pray at a distance, not hear you, but just watch you, and understand that you are not ashamed to let your friends see you pray. And at the same time, our Savior in John chapter 17 is unashamed to let you hear the words that he prayed. Now, I wonder if you could form a prayer that Christians would be glad to hear you pray about that. And so in all of these areas, the Lord is one who hides himself, but just well enough and just long enough to meet his own needs. Because remember, the Lord knows your needs, but the Savior, being human, knew his own needs. An angel knew his needs, and that is why when he had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, he hungered, and he would not take bread as suggested by Satan. But it says that after the temptation was over, angels came and ministered unto him. Why? Because they knew he needed food to feed a human being. And God was going to sustain him in natural means and not supernatural means. And so they gave him food. And that is why I understand that he was made and all things like unto his brethren, because in the morning he was hungry when he got up. And if you woke up this morning and you have an appetite when you got up in the morning, then the Lord Jesus was one who was hungry when he got up in the morning. And if you are hot and thirsty and you want a drink of water, the Lord Jesus was the same. But the Savior is showing us that some of the comforts of life that are quite in order, if circumstances allow, at times they are not allowed, and you must sacrifice such a thing as sleep and get the benefit of communion with God. Or isn't it that important to you? Can you get by without privacy alone with God? Why, evidently, because some, and they tell me, they say, I have to go to work at an early hour, and I have it timed exactly so I can get up and change and get there just in time. And what they had told me is this, that they had left God out entirely. Now, if you commune with God before you went to sleep at night, that's fine. That's quite in order. But if you left God out entirely and you say, my help demands that God be omitted, then you are all wrong as a Christian. We are to rest and care for our bodies that are temples of the Holy Spirit. But if you think that you can care for your body and then spiritually and emotionally survive without communion with God, you will discover that the Lord will soon be able to take this time, that you will be upon your bed, you will be sick, you will be upset, you will be psychologically disturbed, and you'll say, what is wrong? God says, I am determined to get my portion. I must have your prayer. And it's time for us on occasion to miss rest, that we might have an hour or two of communion with God. And so the Lord wants you to see that in the morning, rather than sleep, even though he needed sleep, and you remember, he slept at the proper time. When they were crossing the sea, the Savior was down in the boat sleeping. Why? They were fishermen. They could get the boat to the other side, so it seemed, and so the Lord could sleep at that time. But now, there were going to be so many activities of the day, and he did not, on this occasion, want to pray in the proximity of his disciples, and so he had to go out into the desert place. He wanted to be alone with God. And will you remember those three distinctions? Being completely alone with God, being alone with God with your friends nearby, and then praying with your friends listening. Communion and intimacy with God, so ordinary that it's just as if you were breathing And without embarrassment, in a perfectly normal way, you can walk down the road and you can pray to God with your friends. Listen, that is what the Lord is seeking to bring out in the hearts of his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Yes, he will show you the importance of prayer by sacrificing sleep and by going to the desert and hiding. And he has learned human nature, because I can assure you this, that unless you are a rare individual, you will never be disturbed if you get up early in the morning, because that's when people sleep. And I can assure you that if you pray at night, you will not be disturbed because people sleep. But if you try to pray at ordinary time during the day, it's like the manna. You had to gather it early in the morning before the sun rose or it melted. And you say, well, sometime I will have prayer. But then you will find that friends and responsibilities crowd in upon you, and you didn't have the prayer, and something is missing in your spiritual makeup, and you lack strength to get through the day in a way that is acceptable to God. And the Lord Jesus knew how to hide for 2 hours. If I get up early, nobody's going to disturb me. And so he did. It's interesting, in the two accounts, it said, and when morning was come, and the other a great while before the day. Well, morning for the Lord Jesus on this occasion, his day's work began a great while before the day. And I say that you can always be successful in being left alone most of the time if you get up early in the morning or if you pray late at night. I say most of the time because I remember one man that I was speaking with at a conference out in Tennessee. He is 96 years old now, Dr. Charles Rose, and I was speaking with him at the conference, and we were out in some campground in Tennessee, and I was lying in this little bunk, in a room trying to get some sleep, and about 5 o'clock or so in the morning, I was turning over, and as I did, I happened to look out the window, and I saw this solitary figure just walking up the road early in the morning, and I looked carefully and said, well, that must be Dr. Rose. And then I put my head back on the pillow and went to sleep. But later during the day, I said to him, I said, was that you I saw walking up the road at 5 o'clock in the morning? He said, that's right. I said, how often do you do it? He said, every morning. I said, well, there's some questions I want to ask you. I said, may I take a walk with you in the morning? He said, if you are awake and ready to go when I pass by your cabin at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I'll be ready. And somehow, because it was essential, I rose early in the morning, and sure enough, at 5 o'clock, he used to wear what you call chicken sneakers. He would wear tennis shoes, and he would come walking up the road at 5 in the morning. He was communing with his God as he walked up the road. But you see, I had caught him. I was turning over in the bed, and I looked out and caught this man early in the morning rising, and he was willing to allow me to interrupt his communion with God as a young man if I were willing to make that sacrifice. And so, you say, when people are around, when activities are going on, you try to pray to God, but somehow there's no quietness. Somehow you do not get through and commune with God. Of course you don't. And so in like manner, the Lord Jesus understood that. And so he went out in a desert place. But if somebody saw him and was willing to make the same sacrifice that he did, he would allow this interruption that he might teach you to pray. And so this is the way it was with the man. Usually, I prayed late into the night, but it is not my habit to get up a great while before the day. But if after all has gone to sleep, you stay and continue in prayer to God, it's all right. That's privacy. And so the Lord Jesus did both. That is why I read to you in Luke's account that he prayed all night. And then I read in Mark's account that a great while before the day, he rose up and he went out into a desert place, and there he prayed. And so the Savior, when he wanted to be alone, would do it at night when men slept, or rise up a great while before the day when men slept, and they would not inconvenience themselves, and so he knew that he could find escape and seclusion under these circumstances. And so this is what you're going to have to find out. You're going to discover that if your prayer life is going to mean anything, then you have to get down to business with it and make prayer so important that you're willing to take time out. And I confess this, I enjoy studying so much, it is essential so much, that at times I've studied for hours and time is running out and I haven't prayed. But I say, Lord, I must look into this passage, but you must take time to pray. And so even if you're studying, you must take time to pray. And even if you need physical rest, you must take time to pray. This is what the Lord is letting them learn, that they must take time to pray, even if it costs you time in other areas that are seemingly equally important. My health, yes, but your prayer life as well, because there is spiritual health as well as physical health, and do away with one, and soon that physical health will be affected. Soon you will be a target for Satan, because you've not listened to the Lord Jesus when he said, rise and pray that you enter not into temptation. And that is what is wrong with us. We haven't taken prayer seriously. Prayer? You mean to have time alone with God? I'll have to get up a great while before the day, or after others have gone to sleep, I might have to pray into the night, or I may during the day have to take time away from things that seem so essential to give time to God in prayer. Yes, that is what he's trying to tell us. He does it again and again and again. And my embarrassment was that I did not read all the passages that I could bring to your attention. This is constantly the behavior of our Lord. And he hid himself just as much that he would be interrupted, and he would be interrupted only by those that were deserving. And in this instance, again, he was interrupted. Did you notice that? The first message we considered, he was interrupted by the multitude. And when he was, he said in his heart, you are deserving, he welcomed the multitude. The next time he hid himself, and this Syrophoenician woman interrupted him, and he said, O woman, great is thy faith. This woman was worthy of interrupting his privacy with God. And now, this morning, he is interrupted by Simon and the apostles. And now, we'll skip that and go to Mark chapter 6. Again, he is interrupted. But this time, not by men coming to him, but by his awareness of the need that exists in their lives and his going to them. How important. It's one thing if I'm praying and God sends a man into my life. It says in Galatians 6, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. So then as we have opportunity. And so if opportunity arises and a man comes, why, I say, this is the will of God. But in Mark chapter 6, the Lord Jesus is alone with God again. Did you notice? He's gotten rid of all the people, and it is night, and he prays until the fourth watch of the night. But he's interrupted, because he looks out, and he sees the disciples distressed in rowing, because the wind is contrary. And so the Lord himself interrupts his communion with God, and he says, these disciples need me. And so he leaves his time with God, and he goes with his disciples. You see, he is constantly being interrupted by others or by his own loving, concerned heart, and he is willing to sacrifice these areas of rest and communion that he might go to the assistance of others. Now think of your life, and let me think of mine. Yes, if a person is ill, and it is essential, I will interrupt and go and visit. But most of the time, you will find me studying or praying, but if it's essential, then they must be visited. Time must be taken out. Rest, yes, but prayer must somehow be found time for during the day, before the day, in the night. It makes no difference. The Lord is teaching us that time must be had for prayer. And then as we pray, we must time it So that, yes, the world will come in. When the alarm clock goes off, then they will see us, and they will come to me. Then I can help them at that time. But now I need time alone with God. But we have to permit our lives to be interrupted, but notice you didn't, so that they're not constantly interrupted by those that are unworthy. But we have to allow our lives to be interrupted by multitudes, by individuals, and by disciples, because they have need, and we cannot shut ourselves off from the rest of the world and isolate ourselves into communion with God and say, I'm not concerned. This is what God wants me to do, because the Lord did not do that. At times, we allow interruption, and at times, we interrupt our own schedules and enjoyment of fellowship with God, and we go to others. And this is what our Lord would have us to learn about seeking to hide. And so, let me ask you this now. In your off hours, what comes to mind? Tell me truthfully. Have you ever said, I can hardly wait to get to the end of the day, and I can go into God's presence and pray a whole hour undisturbed? Tell me, when is the last time you thought that way? How many of you are thinking this? I will soon be 65 years of age, and I can get away from my secular employment, and I can spend my whole day studying and communing with God. Tell me, are you thinking that? I'm afraid not. We are thinking, I can get to the end of the day and then do something that I want to do. Or I can retire, and then I can go and do things that I want to do. But if we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, then at the end of the day, the thing that will concern me most is a chance to be alone with God, uninterrupted by the business world, by friends, by family, just to be alone with God. You say, but it's hard to think that way. Why, of course, because it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have to allow his mind to be in you, because Christ was human, but we are human tainted by sin, and because of that, we are looking for things that are not conducive to spiritual growth and to the glory of God, and our hearts are not those that are in love with God, and that is what is sad. And if these questions have made you wonder to think, should the day go by and I want to say, an hour alone with God, when did I last think of that? Well, it's a thrilling thing. If you're not able to sleep at night, to be able to say, I can pray to God. I do not have to lie here and turn and toss. This is a time when I want to pray to God, and the Lord has allowed this. After so many nights, perhaps you can go to sleep. If not, then God perhaps has arranged for you to pray at night when others sleep. Or if you're an early riser, then God has arranged for you to do that. But in your heart, the Lord Jesus wants yours to be like his. This is a time that I can be alone with God. This is a time that I can commune with God. And the only reason I want to get away from things is that I might have more opportunity of communion with God. Because this is what is emerging. That Christ's off hours are in reality the same as his working hours, but simply in a more relaxed form. That's all. And that's what should thrill our hearts, that our off hours should not be an off time when I don't have to think about God, I don't have to read the Bible, I don't have to pray anymore. Then you are sick if that's what you're looking forward to. Let me get away from Christianity and Christian people. I say that you are spiritually unwell. But if you want to get away and have time with God, then this is what the Lord is teaching us. Your off hours are simply to be relaxed time, when you can commune with God and with his people, when you are not under pressure. But it's never a vacation from God. Why, the Lord never thought of such a thing. He said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. But these were with other disciples, a time with the Lord Jesus. And his off hour was in prayer to his Father who is in heaven. And this is what he wants you to do. And his off hours were really simply relaxed hours. And as he said at the age of 12, what? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And he was about his Father's business in public and then in private. But not so much pressure was upon him. But he was always about his Father's business. And that's perhaps what it means when it says the instant, in season, out of season. And when it says the instant in prayer, pray without ceasing. But at times, we preach and pray and serve under more pressure than at other times. The time is never to come when you say, oh God, I don't want to have to think on you anymore. I don't have to pray to you anymore. I do not want to have to read the Bible anymore. His off hours were simply this. They were preparations for his on hours. That's why I read you in Luke when it said he prayed all night. And after he had finished praying, it says he went out and he chose 12 apostles. Why? He was preparing in his off hours for the choice during his on hours. And you will find that the Lord Jesus, in like manner, before he asked the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It says that he prayed. And then he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And when he was to be transfigured, he had told them, some of you shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God come. It said that he was praying. And as he prayed, the form of his countenance changed. And so our off hours are preparations for our on hours. And our off hours are simply to be more relaxed times of communion and fellowship with God. And this is what our Lord wants us to know. Let us follow his example. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that we confess that those who saw the Lord pray and came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Thou dost know that our prayer life is at times a shambles. And if we had to pray as the Lord Jesus prayed, we would be at a loss. But we pray, our God, that if we have learned this, that we have learned our spiritual deficiency in this area. And we pray, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And let us be willing to share our prayer life with others and be able to teach others to pray. And let us, our Father, understand about thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and indeed seek to get away, but never to get away from thee, but simply to get closer to thee in prayer and communion. Our Father, thy Son has given us an example. Let us follow his steps. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.